Blog Talk Radio.
Shipping containers. I wanted to start, laying out plans, just looking at different designs and playing with software to help design, living quarters and the common kitchen. And as I said, looking at, as we were going through the CCNRs, being as wise as a serpent, and how, this is designed and laid out. And so sort of played with that a little bit, downloaded the software, bought the software and downloaded it, installed it, that type of stuff. Then went out on Facebook for a minute. You know, the Most High really must not want me on Facebook because I don't know what it is about it. It just, I post something and it never gets posted, those types of things. But anyway, I guess I have to dig into that and see how I meet their, you know, how to meet their requirements. I want to, I don't want a page for myself, even though I found that I had one out there. But, you know, I don't post on it. So, but I want, you know, because it's not about me. I want, you know, really want to promote the ministry and, you know, put it out there on Facebook for our people and go at it that way. There's some, you know, a couple of, I won't say ads, but subjects that I had created, you know, like which sins did Messiah die for? Because I it's one of those areas where when people look at the scripture, you know, we want them to look and see truth. And I see so much stuff out there, you know, just so many people saying, doing so many different things. It's just unbelievable. It is some of the stuff I'm like, good grief. Nevertheless, this is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I was dreaming last night, dreaming of this land. I got this land on my mind, and it's like I can't get it off of my mind. I'm going to take off from work the second week in October, and I'm going to go tour this land. And I, you know, need to set an appointment that I can do that. Go tour the land, and then, you know, make a decision on what's to be bought, you know, and where. Amen, my sister. Amen. And I will reach out to you for that help. I want it to be 100% ministry based, not about me. I don't want to share opinions. I don't want to get into arguments with people. But, you know, we want to promote the message and, you know, put some thoughts on people's minds. Because, you know, I hear a lot of people saying that they love the Most High. But then we really want to find out, do they really love him? So, you know, I just want to put some thought-provoking things out there that make people think, make them go, make them look at themselves and examine themselves as to, you know, if they're living their life according to the scripture, if they're living their life according to, as the Most High has shown me at least. Excuse me. So, you know, but I am really being consumed with, you know, getting this land and going forth. It is, you know, what my dreams are about now. And so, you know, it's just, you know, I don't even know how to even describe it. I am just ready to, you know, to move forward. All right, that being said, on today we are continuing, well, let me be, do the proper, let me do what's the necessary. I greet everybody, whether you're in Pal Talk, whether you're in Blog Talk, whether you're on the phone, whether you're listening through the internet, whether you're in North America, South America, on the African continent, or on the European continent. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. We are still reviewing the law, and we're reviewing the old covenant. And as you know, sometimes I want to change it up, but you know, the Most High is in control, and you know, in my heart, He said, continue what I put you on so that we can do this and get it documented, you know, the right way, coming into the news, so that everyone that comes, that hears, that they understand that this covenant is not something that you take lightly at all. The Most High takes it very seriously, and we have to take it very seriously. And when we don't understand covenant, then we really don't understand relationship and what's required in the relationship, and that this relationship is sealed in blood. You know, you look at TV or you look at anything, and anything that you do that you sign in blood, you saying you sign in with your life. And so Messiah came, you know, gave us this contract signed in the blood of his life. And when we enter into it, you know, if we break it, it requires life. And so, you know, we want to understand that, and I want to really have this nailed down so that, you know, when anybody hears these messages, and I will start to download them and then really upload them back so that they're on our own website as well by subject matter, that they get an understanding of what they are entering into. It is, you know, I just find that I can't speak for everybody. When I'm reading comments like on Facebook, or when I'm, you know, doing research on web pages and people's thoughts, it seems like it could just be me, and it could just be me, okay? But it seems like people don't really take the Elohim of the Bible seriously. It's like they just don't take him seriously. It's like it's a game. It's like I think I had a vision of a teddy bear. And here is this entity handing out these teddy bears to everybody. And, you know, that's the way they look at it. But he's hardly a teddy bear. So, you know, I want to make sure that people are seeing him in the correct light, that he is very serious. You can't make him what you want to make him. He is all those things plus more. He wants us to first, you know, fear him and understand that when we walk correctly with him, then his love and his mercy and his kindness is shown toward us. But when we are adversarial to him, then it's a completely different story. And, you know, it seems that the world is making up a relationship with the Most High that is not supported in the scriptures. So anyway, we just want this ministry to be about worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And as I said, a lot of people are offended at the law, especially quote-unquote Christians are offended at the law. But I don't know what they think is in the new covenant. You know, they think that it is lawless. You serve in an Elohim that has no standard. Serving an Elohim that is double-minded. Serving an Elohim that if you offend him, it's okay. All you got to do is confess. And that's not the Elohim in this book. It's like Christianity and has lost its mind. So, you know, we want to bring people back on the right track, to fear the Most High, to serve him and understand that all his promises are good and his love is true to those that love him. And there's a difference there. So So, you know, it really makes me wonder. It really makes me wonder who all or what people are serving, worshiping. You know, where, you know, are they making up these things in their mind? And you know, and then making that the Elohim of the Bible, when if you believe this book, if you believe the book, then that's not the Elohim of the Bible. So it really vexes me in my spirit and in, you know, in my soul, that men don't truly fear the Most High. And, you know, and I can't say that I wasn't there at one time, but as he has shown me, I mean, I've always had a level of respect, true respect and fear, but not like I have today. You know, it's a whole different level, a whole different outlook. So, you know, this is what we want to convey to the world, that we believe the word of the Most High. We believe what he has had written, no matter what language it's in. The Ruach HaKodesh, no matter what the language is, the Ruach is what brings us into truth. The Spirit of the Most High. It's who interprets the word for us. And so we are able to come to truth through that, through the Ruach HaKodesh leading us. So we want to continue in this vein. We want to get this thing, we want to get it nailed down. I was going to skip, you know, to chapter 6 in Numbers this morning, but I found when I went back, you know, I always want to read, and I found that when I was reading, I said, no, I need to cover some things here, because sometimes you skip some stuff, and there's important things in it. You know, and some of it is nice to know. Some of it is need to know. And so we want to make sure that we definitely get the need to know, but we also want to get the nice to know stuff too. You know, like the order of the tribes around the tabernacle and those types of things. Or what age does the Most High say that a person needs to be before they're able to go to war? You know, these are little tidbit things that are in the scriptures that we may overlook, because it may not be applicable right now. We might overlook it, but we still need to know it. Okay, and so we're not going to skip anything. We're going to, you know, go through, and then when we come back into those things that are a matter of the covenant and the law. Then we will pick it back up probably in Numbers chapter 5, where we get back into the covenant and the things that the Most High requests of us concerning the covenant. And we're probably right, we're down to law number 355. So we've covered 355 laws out of the 613. And that's moving right along. And so this series, the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, will cover that complete, you know, the complete covenant. And then when we get in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant part 2 in the New Testament, then we will define those things that are not in the New Covenant, because it'll be easier that way. The things that are not, because he removed very few things. And one of the areas that, you know, I was having a discussion with a brother, and he's talking about, well, Messiah changed some things. He did change some things. But in Torah, this is why I say when we don't study to show ourselves approved, when we study, you know, bits and pieces, because we might have a certain subject area, and we look up just that subject area, and we only get those scriptures that pertain to that subject. But as I said, when you skip things, when you don't read everything, then there's information that is there that you still need that helps you in this. So in Torah, the Most High talks about the penalty for, you know, if you accidentally kill somebody or if you kill somebody. But he doesn't really speak to personal relationships. You know, a little bit here and there. But Messiah came to speak toward personal relationships. You know, how you should treat your brother every day. What your standard of your thought process should be. If your brother offend you, not kill you, but offend you, how you react toward that. In Torah, it's more so if you take a life, then you forfeit your life. But then Messiah and the New Testament is coming to deal with the more so everyday personal relationships. And so when we think that, because he said, if your brother smites you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek, that he did away with death penalty. He didn't do away with the death penalty. He didn't even address that. He addressed how we, you know, live every day on a personal level. And so if you take a life, the scripture still requires your life if you intentionally took it. But if you, you know, in your everyday conduct, your everyday relationships, how we treat one another, then Messiah more so dealt with that. And so I think people get these two confused. And, they, you know, if you don't believe in taking life, then you're going to find a way to say that the scriptures say, hey, you shouldn't take a life. You know, that's not, that would not be my first choice, is to take somebody's life for something, but the truth of the matter is a life for a life. And that is the word of the Most High. So, you know, I want to make sure that we're able to correctly discern these things because, you know, we again, we will find a way to try to sidetrack and to try to change the Most High's judgments, which he didn't change. He didn't change them. He dealt with, you know, things on a completely different level. He's saying, hey, if you are a Hebrew, it was against the law to hate your brother. Well, if you don't hate your brother, then you're not going to mistreat him. Anyway, my mind's all over the place this morning. Then let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Actually, I want to start off this morning this way.
Thank you. is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture, the perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that's a fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You gave me my eyes to see, I just cannot express the thee. Just how much you mean to me, how close I was lost to the sea. I will never go at it alone, cause you are my force and you are my defender. I have to protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Make way to the water, walk me through the fire, do what you are best.
Cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We magnify you this morning. We glorify you. We lift you up. Hallelujah to you, O Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. From glory to glory, thou art Elohim, and thou art Elohim all by thyself. Hallelujah, Father. And we, your people, will not worship another, but we bow to you, Father, and we submit ourselves to you and to you alone. We fear you and you alone, O Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it is your voice that we will follow. It is only your voice that we hear, Father. Hallelujah, and we will obey your voice. We will obey your command. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. You are our Elohim. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we ask that you would hear our voice and our supplication. And our testimony will be to the world, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears now toward your people Israel. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, Father, all that should be called in Messiah, that they come to you in the spirit of truth and worship you and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that you do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. As the Messiah has dealt with us this year, to let us know who we are. Let us know how special we are. To let us know that being his child is no simple or small matter. But it's important that we know who we are and that we walk in it. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, they being Israel, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, Therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, we are continuing in reviewing of the covenant, and we are in the book of Numbers, chapter 1. The book of Numbers, chapter 1. And again, I want to reiterate, because I don't know when people, you know, when other people may download and listen to this, we want to make sure if they might start on part 20, they might start on part 19 or part 1. But we want to make sure people understand why we are doing this. We are reviewing the old covenant to understand what's in the new. And the people, you know, people seem to believe that the Most High just wrote a completely new covenant for the new one. And he did not. He took the old one and he modified it. He changed some things. He deleted some things. There were some things that could not be done because, number one, the temple had been destroyed. And he had created his own temple, which was man. So there were some things that are required of the temple in the law that we have to look at ourselves and say, how do we fulfill that? He tells us in the scriptures. He got rid of the animal sacrifice for this dispensation. And so there are some things that were changed, but his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, he didn't, you know, he's not a schizophrenic Elohim. He didn't just change just to be changing. But he said, I'm going to do a better thing for you. And so the intent of the law. He didn't change the law. He further defined it. He said, hey, under the law of Moses, if you broke these statutes, these laws, these commandments, these judgments, you had to be found guilty by two or three. It had to be witnessed. But what people don't realize is those same statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments, he moved forward into the new covenant. As I said, with the exception of a few. And he says, now I want to look at the intent of your heart. Is it in your heart to keep my commandments? If I said, don't fornicate or don't commit adultery, under the law, you would have had to have been found guilty by two or three witnesses. He says, but in the new covenant, if it's in your heart, I'm looking at your heart. And if it's in your heart to do it, you didn't have to physically do it. It just had to be in your heart to do it. Because maybe you were looking at that woman and the opportunity, you know, in your heart and in your mind, you were saying, ooh, I would like to get with her. And you dwelt on that thing. And every time you saw her, that's where your mind went. But then he says, if you have dwelt on that thing, then you are guilty of it. Ain't got to be no two or three witnesses. He says, I'm the witness. I'm the one that knows the intent of your heart. And if I see that intent in your heart, then you are guilty. So it's much tougher, and people think that it's easier. I'm not up under a law. It's craziness and it's foolishness. When by example he tells us, yeah, I'm looking at the intent of your heart. Up under the law of Moses, you died by two or three witnesses. Now I'm going to look at your heart and see if it was in there to do this. And if it was, you're guilty. And I'm going to charge you with it. That's not easier. But we want to know the full intent. We want to know the full everything that came over under the new covenant so that we know what we have signed on to. Because, see, Israel, when the Most High presented, before he even presented the law, the statute and commandments to them, Israel said, all that Yah has said we will do. Then he starts telling them these things, and again, they agreed, all that Yah has said we will do. And then he seals it with the blood of bulls and goats, the life of these animals. That's why it's the blood covenant, because he seals it with the blood of these animals. And because it required the life of an animal, the Most High says, if you break this covenant, it requires your life. Matter of fact, we only found one sin that was not unto death. One breaking of the covenant that was not unto death. Everything else, it requires your life. And so we got to understand that this is a serious agreement that we enter into. The Most High says, this is, you enter into this. If you break it, it requires your life. And so, you know, Israel apparently didn't think that was serious. Either they didn't think it was serious or they didn't understand. Either or, it was not a good thing. Now, we come into the new. This new covenant is sealed in the blood of Messiah. So he says, how much more worse do you think, if the law required your life, the old covenant, he says, how much more worse do you think the punishment's going to be if you break this one? I hope we can hear this. How much more worse do you think the punishment's going to be than death? You know, according to the scripture, the dead know nothing. So up under the law of Moses, you were killed and that was it. And you weren't tussling and struggling in hell, trying to, remember and be tortured for what you did. You just didn't know, you were just dead. But up under the new covenant, the Most High said, how much more worse the punishment? He said, I'm going to give you eternal life, and then I'm going to sentence you to the lake of fire. So you are going to be conscious. You're going to be able to remember all of your transgressions, and you're going to be burning for them, and you're going to be able to feel the fire, but you can't die. And he says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be in anguish. That's how much more worse the punishment. You're going to know. You're going to be conscious. And you're going to be eternal. That's how much more worse it is. So when we come into this relationship with the Elohim of the Bible, we need to know what we are getting involved in. We need to know what we are committing to. We need to know what the penalty is for transgression. So who enters into a contract? Who signs a lease and don't understand what they're signing? Don't understand what they can and cannot do? Who enters into a contract for anything and don't understand what the contract is saying? That's not wise. You commit yourself to something that you don't even understand what you're committing yourself to. It's not wise. So the Most High accuses Israel that they have a zeal about serving him, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of his righteousness, of the righteousness of the Most High, being ignorant of his righteousness, went about to establish their own and did not submit themselves to his righteousness. That is a railing accusation. That is, hey, you think that your judgments and the way that you think about things and how you would do things is better than how I would do them. That's what the Most High is saying. You think that the way that you go about solving problems or to say what's right and wrong is better than what he says. This is what he accuses Israel of. And so we want to today, in this day and hour and in this time and for the rest of our life, we want to understand the contract we have entered into. We want to understand the covenant. This is not for everybody. I'm going to say it again. This is not for everybody, because if you are not going to fully commit to it, you are signing your own death warrant. And it don't matter, because if you're not in it, you're dead anyway. Because he's the judge. He says, all the earth is mine. Everything that don't conform to what I want, I'm not having mercy on it. Everything that doesn't conform to what I want is wicked. And I'm going to destroy all the wicked. So while we have a chance, while we are in our right minds, while we are able to repent and turn away, until he comes back, you know, we need to be turning toward him. We need to be hearing his voice. We need to be in obedience. We need to submit ourselves to his righteousness. Because the world will say one thing, but if what the world says doesn't line up with what he says, you can't choose the world. Because all that is in the world, the love of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's not of him. So you will be choosing those things that are not of the Most High. You know, the world says X about a certain topic. The Most High has already judged on it. And because we grew up in the world, we think that the way that the world thinks is right. And when we hear actually what the Most High says concerning this thing, we might have earthquakes in diverse places. You know, we might have, you know, be like deep down in our soul, oh, that shook me. I don't know if I can agree with that, because it goes against my core principles, because I grew up with the mentality of the world. But we got to understand, we got to get the mentality of the Most High. And we have to come in line with his word, 100%. See, we think we can fall off here and we can fall off there. And it's okay, and it's not okay. It's not okay to transgress. Because transgression causes you your life. So anybody that knows anything about contracts, and we all know a little bit about them, we know enough to know that if we sign a contract and we break it, when we go buy a car, we sign a contract saying we're going to pay X amount of dollars a month on that car for so many years until we pay it off. And if we don't keep the terms of that contract and pay it the way that they say to pay it, miss 3 months or whatever it is in the contract, they take the car back from you. That means that you broke the contract, and so the promises of you getting the car in the contract and it belonging to you are null and void. You didn't meet the requirements of the contract. somehow, some kind of way, people believe that when they break the covenant of the Most High, that they still are in the promises of the covenant. No, you broke it. So you don't get eternal life in his kingdom. You get the other side of the contract, eternal life in the fire. Okay, he says, if you break this, this is what the result is. But, you know, we want to slip. We want to slide. We want to halfway do things. And the Most High says, you know, he don't say, oh, the difference with the Most High, the difference between the Most High and how people think is simply this. The Most High says, I want to know whether you are breaking this ignorantly. You didn't know what you were doing. Or if you're breaking it willfully, you understand what you're doing. You know that what you're doing is wrong and you're choosing to do it anyway. He says, okay, that's the way I judge. If you don't know any better, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to take out my judgment, which I've already announced and proclaimed and made on you. I'm going to let you repent because you didn't know. He says, I'm not going to slap you down or put you in an eternal hellfire for doing something you didn't know. But the day that you learn, the day that you understand that what you're doing is wrong, says you need to repent that day and turn away from it and not do it anymore because you know. And I am true and just to forgive you because you didn't know. But if you willfully, you know what you're doing is wrong and you do it anyway, don't be coming to me looking for no mercy. Don't be coming and looking to me and looking for forgiveness. Because you knew. And you decided to do it anyway. That's the difference. And so, you know, all men, as far as I know, including myself, I fell into that. And when the Most High showed me it in the scriptures and gave me the understanding, then, yes, I had to repent of my wicked ways and to go about to willfully sin. And I had to pray to him and still do. And like I say, I won't know until I get before him. Not to impute that sin against me, but from that day forward, of my having that understanding, I will not willfully sin. Because I know the ramification of it. I know the consequences of it. So I can't tell you I'm entering into his kingdom. I can only tell you what I told him. From this day forward, I will serve you with all my heart and with all my might. And I will not willfully transgress your word. Please don't be like David. Please don't impute this sin. Blessed is the man in whom Yah chooses not to impute his sin against him. It's all in the Most High's hand. But we need to understand this because we're running around in this world. We're running around just being foolish and crazy and saying something, believing on the Most High for something that he has not promised, that he has not said. Interpreting his word in such a way that we can walk in our wickedness and still say he's got to forgive us and save us, and he doesn't. So when we get serious about him and get serious about our walk, then we don't take his statutes, his laws, and his commandment. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it that we can just sin and we're human and it's okay. Because he didn't put anything on us that he said that we couldn't handle. We got to make the choice to handle it. We got to make the choice to walk upright in his word. Every time we make a decision, we're making a life or death decision. When it comes to, are we going to obey the word of the Most High, or are we going to do what we want to do? So it's imperative that we understand this. It's imperative that we walk in his ways. It's imperative that we don't turn to the right or to the left, that we stay focused on him. It's imperative that we don't make excuses for ourselves. Just like I was saying last night, even with tithes and offerings, if you don't tithe, you are in transgression of the covenant. That means you're a lawbreaker. That means you have canceled your contract. And all the promises that come with the contract, they no longer apply to you. But people don't understand that. People are like, you know, if I break the contract, all I got to do is do this. You know, the Most High didn't cancel the contract, but he did. Says, you have broken my covenant. You shall be cut off from your people. That don't mean that you're cut off from the Hebrew Israelite people. It means you're cut off from the people of the Most High. You're cut off from him. You have transgressed my promises, everything that I said that I would give to you, my protection, everything. You threw it away. So we don't want to be covenant breakers. And we want to, you know, it's like you really have to go before the Most High, and this is an individual thing. You really have to go before the Most High and plead your case. You have to go before him and plead it. And no matter what, whether you get an answer or not, you should already have it made up in your mind that you're going to serve him with everything that you have from that point forward. That you're not going to transgress. That you're not going to make an excuse to go back into the same situation that you just came out of. Once you know. So, you know, I tell people this, and then we'll get into this precept. We'll start the reading, the review of this for today. But, you know, this is for those people who may start listening at part 20. Understand that you need to choose this day whom you shall serve. And if you choose the Most High, then you got to know what you are coming into. And you got to understand that it requires your life. If you transgress, he said it costs your life. And if you transgress the new one, because we're reviewing the old, but if you transgress the new covenant, your reward is the lake of fire. That is your reward. And so we want to come to the Most High, because as I'm seeing this thing with the way that the nations are and with the way that the church is teaching people, you know, that the Elohim that we serve, they think that they can take advantage of his kindness and his mercy. And the more I read this word, the more I study it, the more the Most High allows me to see the truth of what he's saying, of what he's actually saying. He simply says it this way: I will not be mocked. You think you can do those things and get away with it? You think you can take advantage of my mercy and my kindness and get away with it? He says, I won't be mocked. And so when people think that they can do that, when people think that the Most High is just that weak, when they think that his kind, because see, We're not looking at him how we should look at him. We're talking about the creator of everything. He don't have to take no mess from nothing or no one. Nothing or no one. And we think because we're men that, mankind, that we can just do what we want to do. And he has to accept it. No, the fact that he would one time give you mercy is an abundant act of kindness because of who he is. We have no regard of who Elohim, who God is. What he tells you, what are you to me? He says, I consider the nations and they are nothing. So you think you can come to me and treat me any kind of way? You can say anything to me? You can do? I tell you, you come into a relationship with me and I tell you this is the consequence and you just think that you can just break it? You have no understanding of who you're dealing with. And so, we want to have the right mind about the Most High Elohim. He's not to be played with. He's not to be trivialized. He's not to be belittled. We are something that he has made. We're living on something that he has made. We're surviving on something that he has made. And then we want to put ourselves up there on the same level with him? So we don't have the right mindset. And when we hear mercy and love and grace, I don't believe we understand those terms from his perspective. Trust me, there's nothing else in the creation, no angel, even Satan and his minions. They know that there's an appointed time to them. But see, the thing is, Satan is doing what he was created to do. And he knows that there's a time coming for him, that there's going to be a time when he's no longer needed. The Most High is no longer going to use him. But we his children, don't understand Daddy. And we think that because he is our daddy, that, his love for us will keep him from punishing us. And he tells us, you are woefully mistaken. You don't really understand Daddy. Because Daddy will say, hey, you're my child. Did you not know that ye are a God? And the scripture cannot be broken? And do you think I will let an evil God come forward? Do you think I will let an evil God manifest itself? Do you think I will let billions of evil gods manifest themselves? No, I will destroy you. I will bind you and put you in the lake of fire designed for eternal beings. I made this lake of fire for Satan and his minions because they had a time and a purpose. But if you choose to go down that road, it applies to you too. it applies to you too. So I'm not going to let you come forth as my child, and because I'm a God, and if you're my child, that makes you a God as well. I'm not going to let you manifest your God power and be evil. It's just not going to happen. And so we think that we are special in that way. And he tells us, no, you're not. I'm not a respecter of persons. That's spiritual or fleshly. That's my child or everything else that I've created. I'm not a respecter of persons. If you are evil, this is what's going to happen to you, whether you're an angel or whether you're my child, whether you're another creature that I created, another being that we don't even know about. Don't matter. So we got to understand this, that number one, it is a privilege that he would even say that we, mankind, are his children. That's a privilege in itself. And then to say, I'm going to elevate you, and I'm going to let you come into your godhood. That's a privilege. And so if you even understand who you are, that should be enough to make you stand up and walk right. That should be enough to make you want to live the life that he wants for his quote-unquote children to live. That you might manifest when the time comes. Because he says, we don't know the things that he has in store for us. We don't know the things that we'll be able to do. Messiah came and showed us a little bit of it. Oh, you don't understand that you can walk on anything. You can walk on the land, you can walk on water, you can walk on the air. You don't understand the things that I have in store for you. You don't understand the limitations that you have right now. You don't understand that at thought, you could be someplace else. Or I want to be in Paris. You think it, and so there you are. I want to be amongst the brethren. You think it, and so there you are. I want to be on Mars. You think it, and so there you are. You don't understand the limitations that we're under right now. But he says, all these things because you're my children. But if you think you're going to come forth evil, you think you're going to come forth disobedient, you think you're going to come forth wanting to do what you want to do, he says, I'm not going to allow that. And so we have to understand who we are. We have to understand that we are in training right now. And if you fail the test, don't think that he's going to say, oh, go do a redo. The redo is the lake. Period. It's the lake. It's a reject. This one didn't turn out right. This one never got the lesson. This one never understood. His remedy for that is the lake. It's not for you to get to start over because of what you are. And so he comes up with these covenants. These agreements. And he wants you to understand what's in the agreement so that you don't break it. So that you don't transgress. And all of us have gone astray. Gone astray. So he says, all right, come back to me. Hear my voice. and obey the covenant. Don't be making excuses, because I'm not taking any excuses. If you break it in ignorance, I'm good with that. We can repair that. But if you know you're doing wrong, we got a whole nother problem. So we need to understand this as his people. This is why we're reviewing the entire old covenant. Because as I said, the vast majority of the old covenant is in the new covenant. The Most High said, I didn't change my standards. You think I changed my standards? No, I didn't change my standards. What I'm doing now is saying, hey, you had a first chance and you ruined it. Now I'm going to give you a second chance, and there's going to be no third. I'm going to give you a second chance to come back and keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, to obey my voice. But this time when you come, I'm looking at your heart. This time, I don't need three men to say they saw you commit adultery. This time, I don't need three people to say they saw you fornicating. This time, I don't need three people to say they saw you stealing. I don't need three witnesses this time. I'm going to look in your heart. And if I see the intent in your heart to do it, you are guilty. Very different. So we want to get this thing right. And if we've been taught wrong, if we've been living it wrong, then we want to take this opportunity now to straighten that out. We want to take this opportunity now to get it right and pray that he is merciful. Because he don't have to be. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So he got to be merciful to any of us. That's something that people say, I guess because they need to hear it, but it sets the wrong expectation. It sets the wrong standard. He don't have to be merciful. So I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You know, I bet you Esau wished he had mercy on him, even though he sought it with tears. Almost, I realized the error of my ways, and I was just a wicked person, and I'm so sorry, to tears, bawling his eyes out. And the Most I said, no, not good enough. You didn't value your birthright. You don't get to repent from that, Esau. Somehow, we feel like we're better than Esau. Somehow, the Most High is supposed to be a respecter of us over Esau and those people like Esau. We take our salvation and our eternity into our own hands when we do that. He don't have to forgive any of us. He don't have to have mercy on any of us. So that's why we need to serve him with fear and trembling, because you don't know. I sit here and I teach this stuff day after day, and I don't know, because I was taught just like you. But my mindset is simply this: Most High Elohim, from that day forward when you showed me that, I will not transgress willfully. I will serve you with everything that I am and pray that you have mercy and don't impute my sin against me. So I'm not trying to say I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is I'm in the same boat. And I want to make it into the kingdom. And I pray that you do too. And I pray that you don't allow your flesh to make you be weak. I pray that you don't allow your flesh to keep you out of the kingdom. I pray that you don't allow others to keep you out of the kingdom. But it is all in the hands of the Most High. That's why we have to serve him with fear and trembling. Because it's in his hands now, whether you go to the lake or whether you enter into his kingdom. It's in his hands now whether he has had your name erased from his book or he has kept it in there. It's in his hands. So you better serve him with everything that you can. You better try to do everything that you can to improve your chance. Anything else is foolishness. Anything else, you might as well go and have a good time. Do all the fornicating and adultery and stealing and everything else. Because the end is already written if you ain't committed. So I pray that the Most High don't see us as he saw Esau. But either way it goes, whatever his decision is, I will serve him with everything that I am. Till the day he takes me out of here, whatever his decision is. Let us go to the book of Numbers. Chapter 1. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, and we are still in reviewing the blood covenant. We are still reviewing, we have reviewed about 350 some odd laws, requirements, statutes, and commandments. We want to enter in to the new covenant. We want to understand what we have entered into. We want to understand so that we, you know, if we transgress, we know what the penalty is. And if you transgress, then you know you're doing it, what, willfully. But understand what the penalty is. Okay? Numbers chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now, we're not going to find a lot of the laws and the covenant in these first four chapters. But we are going to still find some things that are need to know and nice to know concerning what the Most High expects. And I will point those out as we go. You know, the number of the children of Israel in each tribe is not important. It's really not today. But the way the Most High says that Israel is set up, what tribes are supposed to be where. And even when he calls us in the future, what tribes go in what position, we're supposed to know. Okay. How old are our children supposed to be before they're eligible to go to war? Because man says one thing, the Most High says another. So it's little bitty things like that that we want to know, that we want to understand. And Yah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai and in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is in the second year after they have left Egypt, in the second month on the first day. Take you to some of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, eat every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. So the Most High standard for the male to go to war is 20 years old. 20 years old. Thou and Aaron shall number them in their armies. And with you and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben: Elezar, the son of Shedeur, and Simeon, Shelemuel, the son of, I hate these names, Zurishaddai of Judah, Nashon, the son of Aminadab, Issachar, Nathaniel, the son of Zur, Zebulon, Elabab, the son of Helon, and the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Amihad, of Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Pedahazar, of Benjamin, Abidadan, the son of Gideon, or Gideon, I'm going to say it that way, of Dan, Ahizar, the son of Amishadad, of Asher, Pagiel, the son of Akron, of Gad, Elisaphah, the son of Duel, Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the renown of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Now, the Most High has order and structure, and he has always set order and structure. So when Moses brought them out of Egypt, Moses' father-in-law came and told him, hey, you can't control all these people by yourself, which Moses was trying to do. He says, you need to take 70 men and have the Spirit of the Most High on them and assign those 70 men to help you. So then we got men and people and structure that you have men that were over 1,000 men. And then you had men breaking down from that were over 100 men. And then you had men that were assigned that they were over 10 men. And this was the structure. Okay, and so we got to understand that there's always order. Today, it seems like we don't really like order. We'll come together, and if we got an elder over us, we got some people who want to supersede the elders' power and authority. If we got a pastor, then we want to be listening to all these other pastors and all these other elders and not submit ourselves in the one. And so the Most High, you know, in any community, there has to be order. There has to be structure. Let's keep going. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their poles. And Yah commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Reuben, was 46,500. And of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them according to the number of the names, by their poles, every male 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, these were numbered of them, even of the tribes of Simeon, were 59,300. Now let's stop here for a second, because what I have found, what a lot of people will do, they will look at these numbers, having not read, and they will say this was the total number of the children of Israel. But these are just the males that are what? 20 years old and older. If you're between 1 and 19 years old, you're not counted. And so when we see all these numbers, we see 600 and some odd thousand, understand that, let me turn this off. understand that that was not the total number of the children of Israel, because it's not even counting the women or anybody that's 19 years old or any male that is 19 years old and younger. So when the Most High, this got to tell you that when the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt, it was not in the 600,000, it was in the millions. This is so that you can understand the miracles that he did. The miracles that he did was for the millions of people coming out into the desert. When he brought water out of the rock, it wasn't to water 600,000. It was to water millions. When he brought, flew the quail in, 3 feet deep, 10 miles wide, it was not to feed 600,000. It was to feed millions. So we don't want to make that mistake. These are the males that are 20 years old and older that are able to what? Go forth to war. Now, today, our country will say, hey, if you're 18 years old and you're a male, you're able to go to war. If you're 18 years old and you're a female, you're able to go to war. You can volunteer. But the Most High is not including the women in this concerning going to war. Going to war, males and females are made emotionally different. And how much more different, I realized that when I was in Germany and they bombed a base. No, actually, when I was in Germany and they bombed a base in Beirut. And they killed like 200 and some odd Marines. And they shipped all those bodies from Beirut to Frankfurt, Germany, to process them, to identify them, to send them back to the States. And they were asking for volunteers because they had so many dead, but they didn't have the capacity in Frankfurt to deal with that many bodies, you know, to take x-rays and to do all this other stuff. And so they asked for volunteers, and you had men and women volunteering. I went to volunteer, and the first day that I walked up to this big circus tent, and the smell hit me, the smell of all this death. I turned around. I don't want to go in there. But then my conscience got the best of me. So the next day I went back. And I'm not going to describe what I saw. I'm just going to tell you that the effect on me was simply this. When I would go home at night, when I would close my eyes, I would see them zipping a body bag up on me. That would be, you know, that was the first thing I started dreaming about. I was one of those dead people. And still to this day, it still kind of affects me. But for a lot of the women, it caused them some real mental issues because they process, a woman processes those things differently than a man. And it's very few women that, you know, they can see that kind of stuff and deal with it and kind of maintain their sanity where it doesn't affect them physically, emotionally. And so it was never really designed for women to go to war that way. They just process information and they process life differently than what a man is designed to, how to process it. That don't mean that you're weaker. You're just different. And so I saw this in the war and I realized the impact and the change and the effect that it had on women. So when the Most High, you don't see him saying, the people, male and female, who are 20 years old and older to go to war. You don't see that. And so this is one of those things that the nations have said, oh, this is okay. But Yah Elohim has not said that. So let's continue. Verse 23, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. And of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those were numbered of them. Even the tribe of Gad were 45,650. And of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Judah, were 74,600. And of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400. And of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. And of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. And of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all were able to go forth to war. Those were the numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. And of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all were able to go forth to war. Those were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel, by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all that were numbered were 600,350. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. So this is 11 tribes. And all of the 11 tribes are numbered except for who? The tribe of Levi, the 12th tribe. Not numbered among them to go to war. For Yah has spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle sets forth, the Levite shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is pitched, to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up. And the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. So the Most High said, you know, all the tribes, these are your leaders. These are your princes. These are the number of your people who are eligible to go to war. And so when we go to war, these are the ones that better show up. But the Levites aren't going to war, which means the Most High had no intentions of allowing any nation get near the tabernacle. Had no intentions of allowing any nation to get near the tabernacle. Because this is the Levite's job. The priest's job is to minister to me in the tabernacle. Tear it down, set it up, carry it around. And when we go to war, all you other tribes, your men that are 20 years old and older, they are going to be the ones going to war. They are going to be the ones defending and making sure that nobody reaches this tabernacle. Okay. And the last verse, and the stranger that comes nigh, near, shall be put to death. If you want to, but see, this stranger right here, let me explain this word stranger to you in this verse from the readings of the scripture, because you might think, oh, this is one of another nation. That's a stranger. No. Who are the strangers? If you ain't a Levite, you're a stranger. Let me say that again. If you ain't a Levite, if you ain't of the tribe of Levi, you're a stranger. Even if you're one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when people read this word stranger, if they don't look into the scripture to find out, well, wait a minute. These are the only ones that could come near to the tabernacle. Everyone else was a stranger. You're not a Levite, you're strange. I don't care if you are a Hebrew. I don't care if you are of the tribe of Judah. I don't care if you are of the tribe of Issachar or Naphtali or Reuben or Simeon. I don't care if you are part of any of the other tribes of Israel. You can't come near this tabernacle. You are a stranger to the Most High in that regard. So that's not, that word stranger there is not referring to, you're a Gentile. It's not referring to that. It's referring to you're not of the tribe of Levi. And it don't matter if you are a Hebrew Israelite or not. If you're not a Hebrew Israelite of the tribe of Levi, you are a stranger in this verse. And so we got to understand that. Because see, people will try to use this to say, oh, well, see, the stranger can't come close. And they'll try to make it everybody that's not a Hebrew Israelite. But what they don't understand is Hebrew. If you're not of the tribe of Levite, you're a stranger too. So we need to have some understanding in this. Because the Most High said they are the only ones that could come close. It's just like when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. Why was it strange? Was it a different type of fire that they were offering? Was it made out of ice or something? No. They simply offered it at the wrong time. The Most High said, that's out of order. That's strange to me. That's not supposed to be like that. That's not supposed to be like that. And ain't supposed to be no fire over there right now. It's strange. In this case, the stranger is anybody that is not a Levite. If you were of the tribe of Reuben and you came to this tabernacle and you tried to touch something, you were to die. If you were a tribe of Judah and you came to this tabernacle and you tried to do something, you would die. So the stranger, even let's take this a little bit further. You got the tabernacle there. The Holy of Holies is among the tabernacle. If you were a Levite and you were not of the family of Aaron, you were a stranger to the Holy of Holies. Hear what I'm saying. You are a Levite, but you are not of the family of Aaron. You are a stranger to the Holy of Holies. And if you came and touched anything, if you looked at anything that was in the Holy of Holies, you were killed. You died. You were a stranger. You weren't supposed to come close. So we got to understand that this word stranger in the eyes of the Most High and in the Bible doesn't always mean somebody that you don't know. Doesn't mean one of another nation. It means that you are not supposed to be where you're at. I don't care if you are of the nation of Israel. You're not of the tribe of Levi. Don't come around this tabernacle and try to do anything. If you are of the tribe of Levi and you are not of the house of Aaron, don't try to come near the Holy of Holies. You are a stranger. I pray we can get that. Because people will take this word and just abuse it to try to keep people out of the kingdom, to try to keep people, from doing what the Most High would have them to do. But we got to make sure that we are not out of order. So that stranger, as I said, doesn't just mean somebody of another nation. Trust me. Uriah. Ask him when he tried to save Ark of the Covenant from falling off the cart with the ox. The ox, was going and it hit a stone and it looked like the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall. He reached up there to steady it. He wasn't authorized to touch the Ark of the Covenant. He died. Not authorized. You're a stranger to this. Now, it had to be one of the house of Aaron that could have steadied. They could have touched it and not died. But even if it was one of the Levites, from one of the families of Levite, but not Aaron, and they touched it, they would have died. Not authorized. So we got to understand that when he says a stranger that cometh nigh unto it shall be put to death. In this case, he's talking about the tabernacle as a whole. None of the other tribes of Israel could come close to this except for the Levitical tribe, the tribe of Levi. And then when we look at other verses in the scripture, then you will learn that even amongst the tribe of Levi, if you were not of the tribe, if you were not of the family of Aaron, the high priest, you had nothing to do with the Holy of Holies. Couldn't even look at it. They couldn't even come and break down the tabernacle until Aaron and his sons had broken down the Holy of Holies and covered everything up. So they were allowed to carry it, but it was covered up. They couldn't look at it. So that we have understanding, okay? And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch around about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. How is wrath going to come upon the congregation of the children of Israel if they try to come and do anything with this tabernacle? That's why the Levites encamped around it. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony, And the children of Israel did according to all that Yah commanded Moses. So did they. Numbers chapter 2. Oh, we're at 9:51. We'll stop here. We'll pick it up in chapter 2 on this evening. Tomorrow morning, so let me say this. Tomorrow morning for spiritual warfare, we will be doing the Commonwealth of Israel. A short lesson on that so that we have an understanding and of the mentality that the Most High wants the saints to have today concerning each other and concerning concerning his communities. When we come together, we have to come together as community, and what our mindset has to be one toward another. And so I want to cover that tomorrow morning. On this evening, we will continue. We will start off in Numbers chapter 2. And let us understand, and we're going to, you know, some of the things that I just explained to you, we will read them in the scripture so that you don't just, like I said, you don't just say Brother Miles said that. Okay. I'm expounding upon the word and in some cases before we have read it, but when we read it so that you can understand that Brother Miles is not, you know, just saying stuff. It's all based in the scripture. Just like last night before we even talked about that if you miss your tithes, that the scripture says you're supposed to make up your tithes with a fifth part. It means you're supposed to add a fifth part to it. Now, I said that before we read it, but I wanted us to, you know, make sure we understood it, because sometimes, you know, I will expound before we read something. But I want us to understand that we will continue in this on this evening, and we want to hear what thus saith Yah concerning these things. So we, you know, he told us that, hey, it's the males that he considers to go to war. It's the males that must be, in his eyes, 20 years old and older to be eligible to go to war. It is the Levitical priesthood that he says is exempt from going to war. It is the Levitical priesthood at this time that's assigned to what? Take care of the tabernacle. You know, and then I went into the stuff concerning who the stranger is. Now, the stuff that I said concerning the stranger, I'm going to show it to you in the scripture so that we understand that this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is the way the Most High has it set up. And so that when we hear people talking about the stranger this and the stranger that, that you got to take stranger in the context of the scripture does not always mean the same thing. Doesn't always mean the same thing. And we do that a lot in the scripture when we are interpreting things. We got to take it in the context of the scripture and what the Most High says it means. And so a lot of times, you know, that, you know, you first start reading it, you first start studying, those things aren't evident. We just see stranger. And even if we read it a lot of the times because we read stranger, because we have a preconceived ideal of what this word stranger means to us, then we incorporate that understanding into the scripture. But it is the Most High, through your studying, that, you know, like I said, you can read scripture, study scripture. You know, you can study something today, and you get a certain meaning out of it. You can come back and read it the next time and have something added to your understanding, because you will have been more grounded in the word. Okay, so understand that when I'm explaining some of these things, as we get to them in the scripture, then I will show you this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. And we want to be in truth and in knowledge, and we want to be in the spirit of the Most High. So we'll continue this on this evening and then tomorrow morning for spiritual warfare. It will be the Commonwealth of Israel. Because as part of our healing, we need to understand how to treat one another and the mentality that we need to have one toward another. That we have to have in truth. Okay. With that being said, let us bow our heads. Father Yah in heaven, we are your people. Father, we don't want to walk in transgression. We don't want to break your covenant. Father, we have been taught in error for so many years. And Father, we want to come back to you in truth and in spirit. We want to come back to you in the right mindset, that we would respect you as Elohim, that we would fear and tremble at your word. For truly we are in your hands. All have transgressed and come short of your glory, Father. And you don't, your word does not change. And so we are all in need of your mercy. Father, I pray right now that you would look upon the heart of your people and all that are truly repentant of being in transgression, that you would not impute our sins against us, but that you would have forgiveness for us. Father, it's all in your hands. And I make this petition from the bottom of my heart that whosoever would hear and would be convicted in their heart and that would turn from their wicked ways, who would have a mind and a heart not to transgress your statutes, your laws, and your commandments and your statutes from this day forward, but to walk in your ways, to hear your voice and to obey, Father, that you would be merciful. That you would be merciful, Father. And that you would have pity. Because we all deserve death. But you have said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Let it be according to our hearts, Father, that each and every person turn from their wicked ways truly and repent and understand whom we have transgressed against. And let us no more transgress. Father, we are your children, and it is enough. It is enough that you would even declare us to be your children. Father, we will have respect of that. We will have value of that. We will esteem it as the highest thing that we could ever have to be called your children. Father, we no longer want to walk in disobedience. We no longer want to be that rebellious child, thinking that you have to forgive us because you have shown by your word that you don't. And Father, where there is doubt that that person still say that they will serve you with their whole heart, their whole mind, that they will transform themselves to live for you, that you are the priority, that walking in your ways is the priority, that living a life that is pleasing to you is the priority. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We want to walk in obedience. Let his word be your word. Let his judgment be your judgment. Don't be contrary to the Most High. Find out what he says about a particular subject, a particular matter, and make that your stance. Don't impute your righteousness over his. Won't fare well for you if you do. Now, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I ask that the Most High encamp his angels around you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, my brothers and my sisters, I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom. See you this evening, if you're able to attend.
perfect.